Hello, everybody. Jack Graham here with Associate Pastor Scott Turner. Hello. Scott, good to see you today, and welcome to the Connection Service. We're so glad that you have joined us. This, of course, is a very, very exciting time of the year because we are on our way to Palm Sunday, this Lord's Day coming up, and then the Day of Days, the Day of All Days, Scott, yes, which is the Resurrection Day. Amen. Now, every Sunday's Resurrection Day is the Lord's Day, but Easter Sunday is very special. When you think about Easter, Scott, what are some of your thoughts? Just, I know it's about the resurrection, you'll say that, but just as a family,
yes,
what does this mean to you as a family?
Well, thank you, Pastor. It's good to be with everyone. Easter, it is all about family and gathering and convening our loved ones and even friends and those that we don't know together around the resurrection,
yeah,
of Jesus Christ. It's just a sweet time of the year, a sweet, tender spirit in the church and the community. And so Easter is one of my favorite, if not my favorite, time of the year. We, yeah, celebrate Christ's resurrection, and we also celebrate people. And I think we do a tremendous job here at Prestonwood in inviting everyone to sense the presence of God around Easter.
We are inviting everyone we can, whether you join us online for Easter or if you can get here to our North Campus. We actually have multiple services at our North Campus as well as our Plano Campus and Espanol. We'll put those up on the screen right now where you can see them all. So if you can get here for one of those services, it would be great. And bring somebody with you, bring a family member. You know, traditionally, our family gets together for an Easter brunch on Saturday. And we're looking forward to having all the grandkids over to our house and having a brunch and maybe let the little ones chase some eggs, find some eggs somewhere. I've even known to pay off one of our interns to come and be an Easter bunny on Easter. So who knows what might happen at our house on Saturday. But, you know, it's not about the bunnies. It's not about the baskets. It's not about the bonnets. It's about the risen Lord, the Savior of the world. And so we want to tell the world, we want everyone to know who Jesus is and why he came and how he died and how he lives so that we can have eternal life.
Amen.
And to be full of Jesus every day. We're going to be talking about that, Scott, in our Bible study today, which is all about the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, who is the hope of glory. But happy Easter season to all of you. It is springtime. You and I both are kind of battling some pollen in the air right now. So, but that's all good. It's spring, the flowers, the trees, the birds, yes, are singing, the flowers are blooming, and the trees are blossoming. Or maybe that's vice versa, I don't know. But anyway, it is springtime, and always spring speaks of new life.
Yes.
And our prayer for you is that you would just experience a brand new beginning in your life. You know, the Christian life is a series of new beginnings.
Yes.
And maybe you've been in a winter season in your life, and just some of the things you're going through have been difficult and even dark, but now the sun is shining and physically, and I pray that the sun, the dawn of the Easter morn will shine in your heart right now and that you would be encouraged today in this Bible study. If you have prayer requests, please let us know. If you, if you're on the chat room signal, then you can just get in the chat room with us right now, or just text in 74788 and pray, P-R-A-Y, and we'll pray with you, your prayer requests, whatever you need. Just know that we love you and thank God for you. And Scott, we have members of Prestonwood, of course, who join us on the Lord's Day online, who are also with us at the Connection Service, and then literally thousands of people who are everywhere around the world with us online right now and on the Lord's Day as we celebrate. And, you know, it's on demand. You can go to prestonwood.org and find the Connection Service anytime. If you miss it live, you can pick it up later on demand, and same is true with our worship services. Also, I would ask you to pray for PowerPoint, our radio and television ministry. This is prime time for us as well at PowerPoint to get the message of Christ and of the gospel around the world through PowerPoint. We have hundreds of thousands of people who join us on television and on radio as well as online. So thank you for your prayers. So, Scott, why don't you begin our time together by praying for all of us, and then we're going to have Music from Michael Neal, worship leader at Prestonwood. He wrote a song a number of years ago that has now become, I think, a standard in Christian music and worship. It's called Your Great Name. Mm-hmm. It's all about the name of Jesus. So we're going to pray. Michael Neal is going to sing, and then we're going to be back for our Bible study in Ephesians 5:18. So grab your Bibles, get ready. It's going to be a great time as we talk about the essentials and the doctrine of faith in Jesus Christ, which is living the truth, truth for living. That's our series. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. But Scott, yes, pray for us.
Thank you, Pastor. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of a fellowship around your word. Father, in great anticipation for Easter and a celebration, as we celebrate every day the resurrection of Christ, Father, I pray that you would bless those that have joined us for this connection service, that our hearts will be open, that our ears will be attentive. Thank you, God, for Pastor Graham, Father, and the word that you've placed before him. And I pray that as we share your word, that, Father God, you will speak to us and through us. And Lord Jesus, may you be glorified, for we know that as we empty ourselves, that you can fill us up. And we pray, God, today that you would do just that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lost are saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to flee, oh, at the sound of your great name.
Lift it up.
Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, the Son of God and man. You are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Lord, the weak find their strength at the sound of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace, oh, at the sound
I bow before you, I worship you, Lord. Sing his name, Jesus.
The most beautiful name. Sing it out.
Jesus.
There's forgiveness in his name. Sing it.
Jesus.
There's healing in his name.
Oh, Jesus. Sing Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. The Son of God and man, you are.
Isaiah 54 verse 2 tells us to enlarge the place of our tent and to lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes. At Prestonwood, the Lord has truly blessed us as we have enlarged the tent of our mission and ministry. Thanks to your generous giving, our ministries and ministry partners are continuing to expand the kingdom of God. Whether in person or online, more and more people are hearing the gospel and beginning a relationship with Christ. We urge you to continue to pray bold prayers throughout the year. And we encourage you to give generously so that we may truly live out our mission to glorify God by introducing Jesus Christ as Lord to as many people as possible and to develop them in Christian living using the most effective means to impact the world, making an eternal difference in this generation and generations to come. For your convenience, there are several ways to give. Online at prestonwood.org/give, through the Prestonwood app, to our mailing address, or by simply texting the word give to 74788.
Okay, this is our Truth for Living series, and we're talking about some topics, some themes that are just critical for Christian living, and some of my favorite themes in the Bible personally, as well as just the important and significant biblical truths that we live each day. Because remember, the Bible is not only for learning, but the Bible is for living, that we're to be not only hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word, as James tells us. And so we've been talking about these very important, significant topics in the Christian life. For example, we started with assurance of salvation. It's so important that you know that you know that you know that you are saved, that Christ lives in your life, that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't know that, you can know it today. We're going to give you an opportunity at the close of this service to pray and receive Christ. If you have questions regarding your salvation, doubts and fears, go back to that particular one, the assurance of salvation. It's the very first one we did in this series, and watch it and view it and maybe pass it on to someone else who may have doubts. We talked about the security of the believer in Christ, God, how we can know that not only are we saved, but that we're saved forever, that we can never lose our salvation. And that's what the Bible teaches. Certainly one of my favorite and most beautiful topics in all the Bible, this security that we have in Christ. Jesus said, that we're in the Father's hand and no one can pluck us from the Father's hand, that we are saved and sure forever and ever. We talked about not only this, but forgiveness, because certainly we sin, and when we sin, we can repent and confess our sins and be forgiven and live clean and godly and holy lives. We not only talked about forgiveness, but we talked about the Bible, God's Word, the inerrant, infallible Word of God, and there is no more important topic in the world than the authority, the accuracy, the inerrancy, the sufficiency of the Bible, God's Word. We talked about the church and how important it is to be engaged, involved in the fellowship of a local church, a local body of believers. I love the church. The scripture says, the psalmist said it, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Yeah. So again, we're getting ready for Palm Sunday this Sunday and Easter. We're so glad, we're so joyful about that. Of course, we talked about prayer as well, and we are praying today. We're praying every day because we want to stay connected to Christ. So, Scott, these are just a few of the topics that we've dealt with, but today we talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then the power of the Holy Spirit. Because none of us can live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul said in Romans chapter 8 that if we are not led by the Spirit, we're not even the children of God. And so, Scott, I know you know as well as I know that it's impossible to live the Christian life on our own, right? We can't do this. We can't humanly do it. But when Jesus left, his disciples, he said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. And he spoke of the Holy Spirit and how he would send the Holy Spirit into the lives of those who followed and believed in him, and how the Holy Spirit would be the comforter. And the comforter, he said, one just like me, another comforter will come. And so the Holy Spirit, in talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, this is not an it. This is not an influence, but rather the very presence of Jesus in our lives. And when we talk about the person of the Holy Spirit, there are three persons in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and
God the Holy Spirit.
And so the Spirit is just as much God as the Father, and the Spirit is just as much God as the Son. So often, unfortunately, through the years, some Christians, they never knew the Holy Spirit existed. Maybe you were in a church growing up, talked about the Father, talked about Jesus the Son, but the Holy Spirit was barely mentioned. And I know it was true probably in my early years growing up in church. I don't recall messages or sermons or teaching about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes Baptist people were, you know, a little afraid because we've seen excesses in the name of the Holy Spirit and exorbitant things. But the fact is that the Holy Spirit is the very real living presence of Jesus, of God himself. So you can call the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. And the other thing, Scott, about the Holy Spirit, this is not a human spirit. Now, you played NFL football and college football, and so there was spirit when you played, right?
Right.
You know?
Right. Rah-rah spirit.
Yeah, there was rah-rah spirit, and you had to have a lot of spirit.
Absolutely.
And energy and emotion.
Right.
To compete.
That's right.
Yeah. Did you get pretty fired up before games?
Every Sunday, every Saturday, every Friday.
Yeah. And so you get fired up, and that's enthusiasm, and, you know, and that's important, but that's a human spirit, right. And that's emotion. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people talk about the filling of the Spirit when they're really thinking about the feeling of the Spirit. They want the feeling of the Spirit. But God wants to fill us with his Spirit. There may be feelings and there will be excitement. In fact, the very word enthusiasm, it means God in you, in theos. Theos in the Greek language is God. So in, meaning in theos. Enthusiasm is God in you. So this is the Holy Spirit. So I just want to emphasize before we get to our text, and Scott, you're going to read it, that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, this is a very essential and dynamic doctrine of the Christian faith. You cannot live the Christian life effectively. You can't live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit at all. And you certainly can't be an effective witness for Christ. You can't live the Christian life and overcome sin and temptation in your life without the power of the Holy Spirit. But we should focus first, as we're doing right now, that the Holy Spirit is the very person of God. And he has promised to be with us and to infill us and infuse us with spiritual power. But first you need to recognize who he is. And as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, the fact is that Jesus came out of that grave and then he ascended, and he then sent the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts chapter 2. After Jesus went up, the Spirit came down and filled the believers with the Spirit. And then they were able to go as witnesses in the world, and the church was established and all the rest. But this is because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You cannot be saved apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. We didn't just one day decide, oh, I think I'll get saved today. No, the Holy Spirit began working in us in our lives through the Word of God being preached to us, taught to us, through the witness of a friend. And we were convicted by the Holy Spirit and convinced by the Holy Spirit that Jesus is Lord. Yeah. And so we confessed him and believed in him and trusted him. This is all because of who he is in our lives. But not only the person of the Holy Spirit, but now let's just talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. And so read Ephesians 5, 17 and 18, both verses.
Yes, sir. Ephesians 5, 17, 18. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit.
There it is. Now, interesting that he says, understand what the will of the Lord is. Mm-hmm. So that tells me that it is the will of God that we be filled with the Holy Spirit, because right after he says, understand, don't be foolish, understand what the will of God is. And the way we are discerning and discovering the will of God in our lives is because the Holy Spirit is speaking within through his word. But it is God's will that every Christian be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not a command for just the super Christians or missionaries or pastors or, you know, great Christians. You know, maybe you think, well, Spirit-filled living is for people who, you know, have an extra portion of God's Spirit or an extra calling upon their lives. No, the Spirit-filled life is for you and for me if you are a Christian. Every Christian is commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a command. That's not an suggestion. It's written in the imperative. Yeah. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the imperative. And it means you be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's also written, if I could just deal with the language a little bit in this text, you be consistently filled with the Holy Spirit. Right. Be you being filled with the Holy Spirit is the best way to translate this if you're taking notes. Be you being filled with the Holy Spirit, active, present, tense in the language of the New Testament, which means it's ongoing, right, that we're always to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's one baptism of the Holy Spirit when we are saved. We receive the Holy Spirit. We're baptized, immersed into the body of Christ, into Christ. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism isn't subsequent to salvation, after salvation. The baptism of the Spirit takes place the moment the miracle takes place in your life when you receive Christ as your Savior and Lord. But the filling of the Spirit happens as we yield to Christ day by day. And so there's one baptism, we say, and many fillings. And Scott, do you know why we need to be filled over and over again each day?
Yes.
Because we leak.
We leak every day.
and I need every day to come back to the Lord in prayer.
Yes.
And prayer and the Holy Spirit are so often linked. When there's just this divine connection between prayer and the Holy Spirit, because when I am living in prayer and walking with the Lord every day in his Spirit, then there is this there's this sense of the presence of Christ, the presence of His Spirit in our lives. So you, that means you, be constantly, continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is not something we do. Another action that takes place in this sentence is that it's passive in the sense that this is the activity, the action of the Holy Spirit upon us. It is not something that we do to get the Holy Spirit, but you know, the Holy Spirit wants to fill you. All you have to do is allow Him to fill you. You don't beat your head on the ground and cry out for the Spirit of God to fill you. But you know, you don't have to persuade the Holy Spirit to fill you, but permit the Holy Spirit to fill you. So you be filled always by the Holy Spirit. Now, Scott, when you read that word filling there, what do you think about? What is the word filling mean to you?
It's the opposite of empty.
Yeah.
And you know, as we're sitting here and teaching, and I'm listening and joining in with you, and I sense the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit with us this morning.
Mm.
And it is because we are prayerful. We've allowed Him, we've asked Him, we've submitted to Him. And you said a while ago, we yield to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in order for us to be filled with the Spirit of God, we have to yield to the will of God. We have to die to ourself and live unto Him. We have to empty ourselves, and as Pastor said, continuously be filled with the Spirit of God. So that means there's a continuous emptying of oneself in order to continuously to be filled with the Spirit of God. I think about when I go to the gas station, and you know, gas is a little bit more expensive right now. But when you go to the gas station, and if my car is on empty, it does not run properly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's anxiety with that. But when you go to the gas station and you fill your car up with gas, it takes away the worry. The car runs at its optimum capacity. And it's the same way in being filled with the Spirit of God, is that He doesn't want us to live or to run or to operate empty,
mm-hmm.
but to live continuously filled by His presence, filled by the power of the Holy Spirit in order to carry out the call of our life and to be a witness as He's called us to be.
Yeah, and that's so true. And the idea of filling, maybe it sounds a little bit ambiguous to you. That's a very good description. It's a word that also means control, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. In fact, there's a comparison here in verses 17 and 18 between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, clearly, the command is do not be drunk with wine. Right. Don't be under the influence of alcohol. Mm-hmm. I am a total abstainer when it comes to alcohol for a number of reasons. But primarily, I don't want to be under the influence of alcohol in my life.
Right.
And I know everybody says, well, I just drink a little bit. I drink socially. But if you're drinking to get a buzz, if you're drinking to calm down, if you're drinking even socially to get rid of anxiety, I mean, that's putting yourself under the influence. So, you know, a lot of people talk, well, I don't get drunk, but you are so often under the influence. You know, a couple of glasses of wine at night and or the beers with the boys, and there's just a lot of, and Scott, while we're on this subject, I mean, we've both seen it, just the damage and the destruction of alcohol in people's lives. You know, drugs are a big problem, but liquid drugs, alcohol, remains the number one addiction in the world. And I saw some statistics the other day that was actually a little bit shocking to me, in that it was saying that 40% of people in America, I think this was just Americans, do not drink. And I thought that sounded high to me. I thought more people drank than that. I don't know if that was including children. I'm not sure, but I think it was adults only. So 40%, a lot of people do not drink at all. Now you look around you, TV ads, commercials, people at ball games everywhere. It seems like everybody's drinking, you know, and everybody, you know, is just, you know, soused under the domination of alcohol. But a lot of people do not drink. And that actually encouraged me. And then about 40%, this study said, drink socially. And I'm not sure how social drinking was defined, but the way they were explaining it, they can take it or leave it. You know, maybe a glass of wine Monday and then another one on Thursday and so on. But they're not in any way addicted that they can't live without. They can't function without it. So interesting. So this study was saying 40% no alcohol, 40% social drinkers, and then you had 10% who are binge drinkers, they called that. So you know what a binge drinker is, of course, that, you know, may go 5 days and then, you know, drink a barrel on the weekend. Then the next 10% were alcoholic. So 20% have a real problem with alcohol. And it's a big, big challenge. So I just wanted to say, if you don't drink, don't start. And if you do drink alcohol, I want to really challenge you to consider, and this is not a message about alcohol, but I want you to consider the fact that if you are in any way drinking to be under the influence, again, to calm down, to chill out, to get that buzz, to get that social connection made. If you're drinking like that, and if you're drinking every day, you're dependent upon alcohol. You're under the influence of alcohol. You're in bondage to alcohol. And I pray that you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will break that. And if you need help, we have a life recovery ministry here at Prestonwood that helps people with addiction, Michael Perrin. We should bring Michael into one of these connection services and just talk about this entire subject sometime. But we have a program here. Of course, there's AA and there's other kinds of programs. And if you are addicted to alcohol, if you are under the influence of alcohol every day of your life, you need it to get through, then you need to get some help. Right. Go to your pastor, go to a Christian friend. Talk about it. And, you know, a lot of people, Scott, who are Christians, are kind of closet drinkers. And, you know, you got a problem, but you don't want anybody to know about it, and you're suffering as a result. Right. Christ can break the power of that in your life, and he can get you off alcohol. Look, I've never drank alcohol. Don't need it. Because why? We have the Holy Spirit. I took a drink at Ephesians 5:18 a long time ago. I took a drink of the living water. Jesus said, he who comes to me and believes in me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Spirit. Yes. So the Spirit of God fills us. We don't need substances. We don't need alcohol to fill us. So he's making this contrast here that in contrast to being filled with the Holy Spirit is being drunk with wine. So it's a contrast, but it's also a comparison. So think about that. If you're under the influence of alcohol, that means it's dominated. Some people, they drink alcohol, they become boisterous and loud and talk a lot, and others, you know, maybe get depressed because alcohol is a depressant. And by the way, if you deal with anxiety and depression, one of the worst things you can do is put alcohol on top of that. It will not help you get well. It won't help you sleep. People drink alcohol to sleep. It disrupts and disturbs sleep. That is a scientific fact. But the fact is, if you're under the influence of alcohol, you will say things and do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do, right? You've seen that a lot. I've seen it a lot. That's why I say alcohol has many defenders, but no defense. I can tell you as a pastor, I'm not seeing one good thing come from alcohol. No. Not one. And so again, I'm just challenging you as a Christian. You don't need it because you have something better. You don't need substances, spirits, but you need the Holy Spirit to fill your life. And just like you were talking about, Scott, a lot of people are empty and they're full of self, and that's why they drink alcohol or use drugs or do other things to self-medicate, right? When you say that's true. But think about it. If you are under the influence of alcohol, then you think differently, you act differently, you speak differently. All right, now compare that to the Spirit. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to think differently. you're going to speak differently. You're going to act differently. Yes. You're going to start acting and talking like Jesus, because this is the reason we've been given the Spirit, is sanctification. That's a big biblical word, to be purified, to be sanctified, because we are being made on our way to heaven more and more like Jesus. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Man, we're being set apart.
That's right. And so we're to live lives that are different. And the only way I can do that is by the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life, because I can't do this on my own. And the Holy Spirit will fill you, control you, and dominate you so that you will speak words that honor Christ. You will live a life that is obedient to Christ. You will think, not like the world thinks, but as the Word says. And you just can't do this on your own. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so even in the church, so much of what happens in a lot of churches would happen whether the Holy Spirit existed or not, Scott.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of churches, I mean, they're dead. There's no Spirit. There's no Holy Spirit. And as a result, there's no living Spirit.
Right.
You know, what sets Prestonwood apart as a church? Not our programs, not our plans, not because we're better than other people at doing what we do. It's not our schemes. It's not our strategy. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And what the reason we're seeing so many people saved, the reason we're seeing our church filled up, we are, I'm told, the fastest growing church in America right now. I don't have numbers or data on that, but some people were talking about the churches that are growing across the country right now, and we're at the top of that list because, not because we've done it better, we did some good things coming out and through the pandemic and made good decisions, but ultimately, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Right. Scott, I talked to a couple the other evening, and they're visiting our church, and they've been here the last 8 or 9 Sundays, and they've been in their church where they are a long, long time, nearly 50 years, and yet their church is struggling at a number of areas, and they started attending Prestonwood, and he said, the man said to me, the minute I step out of my car on the parking lot, there's something different.
Good.
And it's in the smile of the parking lot attendants. It's in the atmosphere on the property. It's in the atmosphere of the room, because God inhabits the praises of His people. When we praise Him, His Spirit comes. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So it's not stilted. It's not stale. Mm-hmm. It is full of life. And this guy was saying, from the preaching of the Word to the worship to the prayers to the giving, he just, and his wife affirmed it, said, we've just never been a part of anything like this. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we don't take credit. We dare not take credit for it. And so what we like to say is that Prestonwood is a Christ-exalting, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, kingdom-advancing church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's who we are. We're Christ-exalting, we're Bible-believing, we are Spirit-filled, and we are kingdom-driven. Evangelism and missions to take the gospel to the world. We do a lot of other things that surround that, that support that, but this is all the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so what is true corporately as a church, Scott, is true individually. Yes. And we need to make sure every day that we're walking in the Spirit. Walking is a natural activity, but walking in the Spirit is a supernatural activity.
That's right.
And so I don't want to live my life. I want to live the Christ life that is in me. And the most important discovery that I made as a Christian, all right, you ready for this? The most important discovery I've made as a Christian, and thank God I learned it as a young Christian, as a teenager, because my pastor in high school taught us this truth, and I began to read my Bible. The most important discovery I made in my Christian life is this discovery of the wonderful Spirit-filled life. That it's not me, that it's Christ in me. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, my human life, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The apostle said in the book of Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
The spirit-filled life is Christ in you. It is Jesus living out his life in you. And when I made this discovery that if I would yield to him and surrender my life to him each day and empty of self, as best I could every day in prayer to empty myself of myself and ask the Spirit of God to control me and dominate my attitudes, my actions, my behavior, my beliefs, that the Spirit of God would fill me and use me. Once I made that discovery, as we say in sport, game on. I mean, because this is what ignited my life.
Yes.
When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the symbol was fire and wind. And so the fire, they were ignited by the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit. And then they were blown. That is, they were led by the Spirit of God. Jesus said that the Spirit blows where he wills. And so the Holy Spirit, the wind and the fire is in us. So I can't emphasize enough. And I go back to what we were saying earlier, Scott, that this isn't just for Jack Graham, who's a preacher, right, or Scott Turner, who's a minister of the gospel. It's for every Christian, whatever you do. If you're the guy in the parking lot helping park cars, you ought to do it as a spirit-filled Christian. Amen. If you're teaching a class, if you're visiting a hospital, yeah, if you're being a parent to your kids, if you're being a spouse to your spouse, this is all in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what's wrong with most homes and families, including Christians' family? No Holy Spirit power.
Spirit, that's it.
A lot of selfishness. You got people's egos and conflict in their homes. But when we yield to the Holy Spirit, then you know what happens? We get the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The filling of the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So let's go in our Bibles to Galatians 5. You're in Ephesians right now. And we'll wrap up with this for now. I could go a long, long time, but you're in Ephesians. Just go back to the book of Galatians. Mm. And he talks there about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we actually did a series in our connection service that I'm sure you can find online on each of these beautiful expressions of the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 23, Scott, go ahead. Verse 22, actually, read that for us.
Okay, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law.
All right, so there is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not the fruits of the Holy Spirit. If I could just, you know, cut it really close right here. It doesn't say these are the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, mm-hmm, because that would kind of indicate that maybe you could pick and choose which fruit you want.
Right.
I don't like every kind of fruit. I like most fruit.
Me too.
But, you know, the idea is not, oh, I'll take a little kindness, I'll take a little love, and I'll take a little peace. Right. But I don't want any self-control.
Yeah.
No.
No gentleness.
No, it's the fruit of the Spirit,
right,
singular. So I like to say it is one fruit, nine luscious flavors, nine delicious flavors of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, yes, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. And Scott and all of us, in reality, you know what this is? This is the character of Christ in us. Jesus is all of this.
Yes, he is.
He is love, and he is joy, and he is peace, and he is patience, and kindness, and goodness, and gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He is all of this in us.
Yes.
And so when Christ is given his rightful place of preeminence in control of our lives, when he's on the throne of our hearts, then this production begins to take place, this reproduction, if you will, of Christ in us. And it all happens when we yield to the Holy Spirit. We do this in prayer. We do this as we simply ask him and surrender our lives each day to him. I don't think there is a day that goes by in my life where I do not say the words, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And by that, the Lord knows what I mean. I know what I mean by now. I mean, Lord, let me deny self, and Lord, that you would fill me and use me. And remember, the filling of the Holy Spirit is not for our personal enjoyment, but for our practical employment in the Christian life and serving Him. And Acts 1:8 says, Jesus speaking before He ascended to His disciples, He said, "And after the Holy Spirit comes, you will be my witnesses." So the Spirit comes, and for what purpose? That we would be witnesses. Yes. For Christ. Amen. So not just feel good. Again, it's not the feeling of the Spirit, but the filling of the Spirit, the control of the Spirit, Christ in us. And as we yield to Him and surrender to Him our lives, He fills us and then He uses us for His glory. And Scott, I know you as a man, you as a husband, you as a parent, all of you, the same, whatever your status in life is, you want the anointing of God's Spirit, the presence and the power, the empowering of the Holy Spirit on your life. We got a lot of enemies out there that we're facing, the devil, the world, the flesh, but the Holy Spirit will enable us to live in victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So what an important theme and topic this is. This is truth for living. Now, if you want to know more about what it means to have a personal relationship with Christ, then on the screen, you can text 747-88, the word Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, and we are waiting for you. We're standing by. We're praying for you. If you want to trust Christ or know more about what it means to become a Christian, because you don't have the Holy Spirit apart from Jesus in your life. You don't have the power to overcome in your life without the presence of Jesus in your life. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the presence and the power of God, the presence and the power of Jesus in your life. So you need Christ in your life, Christ in you. So invite Jesus into your life right now and believe and trust in Him and let us know about your decision. We'll send you a New Testament with study notes that will help you grow in your faith and develop as a disciple of Jesus. And if you are a believer, but you've been living a childish, carnal Christian life, if you're full of self and ego, now's the time to surrender your life to the Lord. Maybe you've been filling up with other things, the pleasures of this world and the things of this world, these never satisfy the heart of the believer. And this would be a good time just to get on your knees right where you are and surrender your life. The Christian life is a series of new beginnings. And if you need a new beginning in your life, this would be a great time. We'd love to help you with that. 747-88, text Jesus as well. We're standing by to pray with you, to encourage you, and to help you in your faith. Or go in to the chat room if you have a chat room available to you and just talk to us. Text with us and we'll pray with you and pray for you about your walk in the Spirit of God. Well, Scott, this has been a great time together. It's always good to be with you. I love you and thank God for your family and your fellowship in the gospel. And we are praying as we move to Palm Sunday and Easter in the succeeding days. Pray with us. Be a witness. Invite your friends to church. Go with us as we tell the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. God bless you and good day.
Thank you so much for worshiping with us tonight. We pray that God spoke to you, and we would love to hear your thoughts about the message in the comments right now. We also want you to know that our online team is available to answer any questions that you may have. You can connect with us through our guest form, our prayer form, or by joining our Prestonwood Live Facebook group. All of these links have just been posted in the comments section, and we look forward to connecting with you soon. Before we go, remember that we are all in this together. We love you, we are praying for you, and we look forward to worshiping with you again soon.